I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Well, well, well. Like Kylie and Jason, we're back together again.
I know. Well, we should have been back together this time last week, but you were like, well, I'm not going to say this word out loud, but I am. I thought you were going to die. You were so poorly.
I wasn't going to die, but obviously in classic over-dramatic me style, when I get ill, everyone fucking knows about it. No, do you know what? I actually did have a really nasty virus for 2 weeks. And the second week, it just took me to bed. Like, I had to go to bed. So I couldn't make the recording. I didn't go to work. I cancelled a shoot with Boots. I cancelled a shoot with the BBC. Like, you know, you can imagine I was pulling my hair out, just going,
yeah.
I couldn't get up. I could not get up out of bed. I had this horrific night sweats and like fever and body aches. And then I had splitting headaches, just, you know, full shebang. Shit. And this cough, which wasn't great. But you know what? I reckon I'm probably at like 70% still. I'm still not feeling like I'm back. But my lungs feel like they've had like treacle poured down them.
Do you know what? I think you might be the fourth or fifth person that I know that's had this, and
right,
they all
okay.
say they've never been so ill. My mum had it, and she was in bed for nearly 3 weeks. She she didn't eat anything, like apart from something like, no, I don't think she did eat anything solid. I think she had like some smoothies and things like that, because my dad was like, you've got to eat, for 3 weeks. And then one
because
of the girls,
everything
like,
tastes like mushy air.
Yeah, exactly what she said. She said, I just cook, like, I literally fit. No. It's mad. I don't know what's going on. But when you've got young kids as well, like, to have to take to your bed, we all know that is like, it has to be bad. You have to basically be dying.
And do you know what? I'm going to put this out here. Obviously, no hate towards the men that listen to this podcast, but...
All the hate.
What? We know that everything before but is bullshit as well. Yeah. Really. What is it when men cannot be caregivers? It's a really, really interesting one. And I'm wondering if anybody else is nodding. Obviously, like, I'm married to a super kind man who's lovely, and he can put his arms around me, and he would go to the ends of the earth for me. But when I'm sick, he doesn't know how to care for me. And it's really, really interesting. And it's almost like an inconvenience. So I was feeling a little bit like, when is someone going to come and bring me some soup?
Yeah, when's someone going to come and look after me? I think that I always tell James that he wasn't born with any empathy. And I just genuinely don't think he was. Like, if someone's sick, even if the kids are sick, he'll just go through the motions, you know, like, are you okay? That's about it. But there's no real, like, I don't know. There's no care. There's no, like, if the kids are sick, I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, cuddles and all of that stuff. If I'm sick, oh my God, he's pissed off. I'd say pissed off.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Yeah, it's so... If anyone has got a husband that actually has the empathy gene in their body, we'd love to know. We would literally... I don't know any men.
Answers on a postcard to us, please, and let us know. I'm exactly the same. That's really funny that James is the same. Because actually, do you know what? I tried to bring it up and I tried to say, you know, in this really kind of like psychotherapist, I was like, did you get a lot of empathy and love when you were ill? You can imagine it went down like an absolute shitstorm. And he was like, why? Because what? Am I not doing it to you? And I was like, well,
Yeah, no, I know exactly. Like, I say it to James. I'm like, because you're one of four, did no one care for you? Is that why you're like this towards me? Or like, if I've been ill and then the week after, I remember like in my head how awful he was to me when I was ill, he'll be like, why are you pissed off? And I'm like, well, because I'm just remembering how shit you were last week. And he'll be like, well, I asked you if you were okay. And I feel like being like, do you need me to write a list of things you need to ask and do when someone is sick? Because going, yes, are you okay, is not enough. It's just not. Really, no. No.
Anyway. I'm with you on this. And do you know what? I don't know how you are as a patient. I'm a terrible patient. So I know that I probably don't help the situation. And I was thinking about that quite a lot, as in, you know, the whole world doesn't have to come to an end because I'm ill. But because I felt so dreadful, like, it's not, as you know me, it's not like me to just be like, right, the world, I've got to shut it out and I can't do anything.
Yeah, go to bed, exactly.
I just felt like, oh yeah, I need probably a little bit more understanding around it. But then I thought, are we really at a point in our life? I think we are, where there isn't anybody to look after us. We're sort of the sandwich generation where I'm worried about my mum and I'm worried about my children. So who is there to take care of us? And do we actually need it? I don't know. I was thinking about it a lot. There was a lot of stuff going around in my head when I was like, what are your
you
thoughts?
You had a
on
lot
that?
Of time to think.
Way too much time to think.
Okay, but apart from being ill, how have you been the last couple of weeks?
Do you know what? We're actually in good shape. We had a lovely Easter. We've had some quite big emotions going on with Isla, which I think I've shared before on the podcast. And those are, you know, Isla being quite unsettled, and her feelings of being unsettled are, the ramifications of that are, we're all on tenterhooks quite a lot of the time. Like, we could, one of us could say anything, whether it's, you know, me, the kids, does or whatever, and the mood swings and the door slamming and the eye rolling. And she just has felt, she's coming into that the tweens, the teenage years, quite early with hormones. But I was finding it really, really hard, because I've always had this really special, quite unique relationship with her. And obviously it is tricky being a step parent. I talked about it a lot on the podcast, but, you know, I'm desperate to get it right. And it, for a good couple of months, 3 months, it hasn't been going right. I'm pleased to say that we had some pretty big conversations when we went away on holiday together skiing, and we fleshed out a lot of stuff. Now, I think I shared with you that Isla said to me, she shouted at me in my face and was like, stop trying so hard. And I was like, fuck.
I feel that in my heart.
Way too hard. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
But I listened to it. I heard it. Because I think what she meant was, it must be, from my side of things, it must be so irritating having somebody there being like, you okay? What's going on? Is everything okay? Do you need? Yeah. And actually, sometimes she's just being a pissed off nearly 11-year-old, and I need to be the grown up to go, just leave her alone. Stop trying to make it look perfect all the time.
Yeah, that's
Does that make
true.
Sense?
Yeah, no, it does make sense. And I actually wonder, like, any parents listening with 11-year-olds, whether you're a step parent or, you know, a parent, I guess, if that's the case anyway. Like, because I can, you know, I can imagine that mums, dads get that all the time, like that push and pull. It's like, I sort of feel like with teenagers, I mean, it sounds mad we're saying teenager about 11-year-old, but the more you speak to people, the more people say this is happening earlier and earlier. I don't know what's going on, but it does seem to be that. And actually, a lot of people are saying when they're teenagers, they've come out of it and they're actually, it's all calmed down. So you've got that to look forward to. But you do hear, like, where people say, it's like the teenage stage. When they're babies, you think they need you all the time, and they kind of don't. They could be looked after by anyone, I guess. You know, they could be at nursery and they're happy as long as they're fed and watered and whatever. Yeah, but when they're a teenager, it's like they need you there, but not there. So they almost just need you in the house, and so that you're at their beck and call when it is that you need them. They don't need you like physically, but they need you like, emotionally, I guess. And that can't be just anyone. That has to be someone that they're close to.
And you know what? It's a very interesting point. And Dozza said it to me. Dozza was like, you are the grown up and she is the child, but make no qualms about it. We're moving into a period where Isla will dictate what she needs from you rather than the other way around. So you need to pull on your big boy pants and your armor and be like, this is not about step-parent, step-child. This is about an 11-year-old having massive feelings and me hopefully being able to cope with whatever. Not, I'm not saying she's throwing shit at me and I'm going, go on, don't worry, I'm just going to go and put another plate of armor on. You know, she can't speak to me like she's been speaking to me recently. And I have to be able to have those conversations with her. And we do. But generally, you know, if I'm getting the plate slamming and the eye rolling and the you're embarrassing and shut up, you know, I just need to go, oh, whatever, and just let her get on with it. Because,
yeah,
and that is my character. I'm a bit of a Rottweiler when it comes to things. And I don't let things go sometimes. And I need to probably think about that. I'm not used to it because it was just so easy before, and it's definitely not easy now.
Yeah. Do you have any like mates with 11-year-old daughters that you can talk to about this stuff? Because I wonder sometimes when you're the step parent, it's like you know, you're doing all of the parenting pretty much. Like you share it, don't you? It's like 50-50.
Yeah.
So you know, you're doing all of the parenting, but you haven't got that like support network, because I guess, are you friends with Isla's mum's friends? Like Isla's friends' mums? No. So,
well, not really. No, I'm not friends with them. I know some of them, but I'm not friends with them. I don't have anyone.
Yeah, to talk about it too. Because that's the thing, isn't it? Like we talk about, you know, Axel and Luna because they're going through similar things at similar times. Like it's quite, you know, we've got each other to bounce off and other friends. But I guess when you've got Isla, who's, you know, quite a bit older than, you know, your friend's kids, it's hard because you don't know what's normal and what's not. Because I was going to say to you, like, oh, you said she feels unsettled. Do you think that's because she's got two houses to be in? Or do you think that's just because everyone's going through it?
I think it's a bit of both. And I think what actually interesting, when I speak to Isla's mum, that's when I get quite a lot of comfort, because I thought it was just being aimed at me, and it's not. It's being aimed across the board. Interestingly, she's very different towards Doz to how she treats me and her mum. But I think that's definitely a mum-daughter thing rather, you know, I do think it's that. But, I, Laura is experiencing similar things to me. So, yeah, that was comforting in a way. And also, like you said, it would be really lovely to be able to speak to somebody else who's got an 11-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to get in touch with me, so we could just flesh it out, that would be so comforting.
I don't think I know anyone with an 11-year-old girl. I mean, Lucy, my friend, got an 11-year-old son, but I'm guessing the hormones are different and you go through different things.
You do. What about Axel? How's he getting on? Lots of people have been reaching out about Axel and his nighttime situation.
Oh, the bed wetting.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually have this on my list because we've been talking to the doctor and they basically told us to get a bed wetting alarm. Now, we bought one, but apparently you can actually get one from the school nurse. But I just thought if the school nurse has one, I'd rather buy one and let someone else use it.
So just back up for a second. For those people that are listening that don't know what we're talking about here, can you just explain what's been going on?
Axel is 7 and he has never not wet the bed, ever. Like never, ever, ever. Never, ever had one night where he hasn't weed in the night. Never.
Okay.
And I'd always sort of, I think from about 5 when he was in reception, I spoke to the doctor. They told me to come back when he was 7, like not to worry about it, basically. Like don't do anything. Don't try, you know, just leave it. Because it can cause, especially like he's quite an anxious person. So you don't want to like make it. So we didn't. I just didn't. Just put it to the back of my mind. Let him wear night pants. Not to worry. Then when he turned 7, I got back in touch. And again, still very much like, don't worry, you know, stay relaxed about it. Don't make it into a thing. Don't reward him. Don't discipline him. All of that. But try a bed wetting alarm. So,
okay, what is
it? This bed wetting alarm. So it's like basically attaches to their pants and it's meant to wake them up just before they're about to wee. So,
wow.
Yeah, which is
attached to their pants, not attached to their penis.
No, their pants.
Right, got it. Okay.
And so like as soon as there'll be like a droplet of water on the pants, it'll buzz and wake them up. And it's supposed to like kickstart whatever that is in your body that stops you from doing that. You know, like when you have a dream and you think you're wetting yourself and you're not, it's like you wake up if you need a wee, whereas some kids don't get that for like
a while. Okay, fine. Got it. Yeah.
So I've got to be honest, we did put off using it because I just couldn't face being woken up.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't want to fucking be woken up. That's exactly what you're thinking.
You're like, oh, I just don't want to do it. Oh, you know, you'd go through that thing where you'd be like, oh God, I don't want to have to go through changing the bed sheets. No, it's not loud. It would only wake him up. But I think the whole thing is if he wakes up, he's probably going to come and get us or go to the, you know,
oh my God, George.
And also as well, you know, when you're like, he can't be tired this week. He's so busy, you know, like there's been so many things where we've been like, no, not this week, not this week, not this week. Anyway, we decided we would do it in the week before the first week of Easter, basically.
Okay.
And it wasn't very successful.
What happened? I'm dying to know.
He just doesn't wake up. Like, he doesn't wake up. So
what? So hold on. So you took the night nappy off.
So what?
Or the
we
night
did,
nappy was still on.
No. So what we did was put his pants on with the alarm, so that he would know if he was wet, if that makes sense. But put a nightpan over the top, so then the wee's not going to go everywhere, basically, because the alarm would still work attached to the pants.
Okay.
Because that's the layer of skin close to him.
Okay.
But he just doesn't wake up. Like, just doesn't wake up. So it's just not successful. So basically, now we've got to go back to the doctor. But it's weird because James actually shared a bed with him. I went away last week for work and he was like, I'm going to share a bed with him and see if I can, like, wake him up. He can't.
Right.
He won't wake up. I just can't just, like...
Can I be Axel in my next life?
Wake up. I don't know what to do. Like,
okay, so here's a theory. Here's a theory, and you may, and I'm not a doctor, and you may say this is ridiculous, but how many times? Because obviously, when we were potty training or night training kit, there was nappies were off, and we probably had 3 months of him wetting the bed every night. 3 months.
Yeah.
You should see the state of his mattress. I just kept cleaning it, flipping it over, cleaning it, flipping it over, cleaning it, flipping it over. Even with those, you know, those sheets that you can put on. So
yeah.
How long do you think it would take him of wetting the bed before he got his head around the fact that he actually does have to get up and have a wee if he needs it? Like, well, you so might want to just, is that a thing that you try?
No.
I don't know.
So this is what the doctor said. It's not like, if he was 4, then yeah, like you would do that.
Okay.
But because he's never... ever not wet the bed, it's not the hormone has not kicked in, like,
okay,
it
fine.
Just hasn't.
Got it.
Like with Gigi, it's a completely different story. Do you know what I mean? Like, if she wets the bed, it would be like one wee. Axel, I'm not joking, it's like if we did it, it would be like we'd poured 2 liters of water over the bed,
right?
And he would just be asleep. And it's,
well, he'd soon be awake, but yeah.
No, you
okay,
say
yeah, no, I
that.
Get what you're saying.
No, you say that he'd be awake. He doesn't wake up. He does not wake up. Like,
so
I can't describe
it. So there's
it.
That hormone that has not, that either isn't present or hasn't kicked in yet. And how do they encourage that? They'll have to do tests on him, surely.
Yeah, so that's the next stage.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to go back to the doctor, talk to them about it, and then there probably will be some tests. And I don't know. Like, I literally don't know. But they asked me loads of questions, like things like, you know, when you're potty training at first, no, not even when you're potty training, like say when he's just been, like he was potty trained and he fell asleep in the car, right? Mm. You know that they would sometimes wet themselves when they're asleep in the car.
Yes.
Did he ever wake up? No. He would not wake up.
So he'd wet himself and he wouldn't wake up?
No, not wake up. Whereas Gigi, if she did that, she would wake up instantly and be upset about it. He would just lay in it. Like, I just... this is another thing as well. Like, when I've said this before, when he's been sick, do you remember? Like, he'd been sick in the night once. We didn't even know. He didn't come and get us. He just... woke up, was sick, and went back to sleep.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
there's, I don't know, there's something in it, but the update is there is zero progress. Zero.
The update is there is no update.
There is no update. There is zero progress. But
well, listen, good luck with it, because I know it's a big thing. It's obviously, you know, fine, it's kind of not a big thing at the moment, but obviously Axel's getting to a stage where he's going to want to get out of it. But you can get it sorted. So many people have been messaging going, what's the update? Can you give us the news? My son's the same. My daughter's the same. Loads of people are going through it. I think if you're going through it, that it's isolated to just you, but I really don't think it is.
No, and that's why I do share it on here, and like I do talk about it, because I think as soon as you do start talking about it to other people, they're like, oh my God, we're the same. Like, what? Or like when I've posted about it on Instagram, I've had like parents in other years at the same school as Axel reach out and be like, oh my God, this is what such and such was like. Message me. Like, I'll tell you what happened with us. Like, just, I think it's important to talk about for sure. But I don't have any tips. Zero.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No
yet. Yet.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Something that did happen at the weekend with Axel that I wanted to talk to you about, because I wondered if Luna had got to this yet. So we were watching Britain's Got Talent, okay? And there was an amazing girl. I can't remember what her name was. She sang a song from Annie. She was absolutely unbelievable. And actually,
wow,
was watching.
Haven't seen it.
Oh my God! So she's unbelievable. Watching it, and Axel started crying watching her.
Oh,
and he was like, "Oh my God, what's happening? What's happening? Why am I crying? What? I think she's really good. Why am I crying? I don't understand." And then he's like really crying, and I was explaining to him. I was like, "Oh my God, this is so weird. This is something I've never thought about telling you before, but actually sometimes you cry when you're happy. Like, that's a normal thing to happen."
That is so interesting.
Isn't it? And like, I just thought, Gigi just sat there like stone faced, like, "Oh yeah, she's good." You know, like, whatever.
She's probably going, "What a bellend."
She probably is.
Knowing Gigi the way
that
I do.
You wet the bed,
oh,
you idiot.
On.
And you're crying over it all. But
okay.
Is this a hormone thing? Is this a new thing? Like, I can't imagine that toddlers cry because they're happy.
So I think it's really interesting. I think if you're a household of criers, like we are, we cry all the time. Music, sad things, happy things, arguments, you know, special family days. Sometimes I look at Dozer and I'm like, "Are you okay?" And he's like, "I'm just so emotional." I'm like, "What, just watching them eat their breakfast?" And he's like, "Look what we've created." You know, so that's the sort of household that we are. So I think my kids are quite comfortable with the tears that come. But I think I know you don't, I've seen you cry once.
Yeah, I don't really cry,
No, you never cry.
No, but I do cry over happiness.
Like, give me an example.
Like, for instance, when that girl was singing, like, I felt, like, I didn't cry.
No, you didn't cry, though, exactly.
But I
give me another
that,
example.
Like, feeling of crying. No, I have no other examples.
Georgia is lying, okay? I do cry with happy things, like when?
It's one time when I was 8.
It's one time I mean, you could win a medal for, like, you know, the Olympics, and you'd still be like, "I know I should be feeling something here, but nothing is
What's
coming out."
What's the emotion?
So how did he take it?
He just was really confused. And I said, "Have you never felt like that before?" And he was like, "No." And I just thought, oh, maybe this is like an age thing. Like,
have you seen the new episode of Bluey?
That. No, I haven't. Is that a crying
thing? Watch the new episode of Bluey. and I could not stop crying. I was hysterical. Yeah, they were trying to sell Bluey's house. And then at the end, the dad came and pulled the for sale sign out of the ground. And Luna keeps asking me, because obviously she was going, oh my God, I'm crying. Mommy, are you crying? I was like, I've gone. I've completely gone. She keeps going, would you pull the for sale sign out of the ground? And I'm like, yeah, I would. And she's like, oh, it's so lovely. I've created a complete emotional mess in
Luna.
No,
but that's nice that she can cry over things like that. That's the first time it happened in my house. I thought it was like a new thing.
Has he mentioned it since?
No. But I'll watch that Bluey episode and
Please do, and let me know. Film it.
I'll film it.
Because I want to see, because you might say that you cried, but I won't fucking believe you. How are you, George? How are you?
I'm really good. I mean, I've spoken a lot about the ski trip, but like I haven't spoken to you about it. I loved it. I'm fully converted. Thank you for telling me to go. Loved it. Felt very refreshed when I came home.
I'm proud of you.
So yeah, I'm good actually. Like I had a busy week last week, went away for work. Like literally, I think I did something like 22,000 steps every single day.
Whoa.
Just like for people who don't know, I work in PR and so like I do brand events. So you might see us go to them, but I'm on the other side where I organize them. And let me tell you, it's a completely different experience. Like putting everything in people's rooms, running around. Like it was, I'd forgotten. I haven't done one of those for so long, like an overnight. I was away for two
nights.
Where did
you go?
It was full on. We went to a place in the Cotswolds called Lakes by You. And it was good. Like it was fine, but it's not, it's full on. Like
it's
I was
the
exhausted.
Same experience when you're working and putting it on, is it?
It's really not. And I was like properly exhausted. But it was nice to come home. Like my mum had the kids. She was here with James because James had work events as well. And it was nice to come back and then like actually be happy to see me when I got back.
Oh,
and then we just had
nice.
A chilled weekend, like cancelled all plans, did stuff at home, like just
doing,
nice.
Doing weekend, yeah, lovely.
I've got someone actually right now here organising the garage because we moved in November. And
wow, is it really November? Jesus,
yeah, well, it was
quickly.
The end of November.
Have you done any work at the house yet?
Nothing at all. And I don't think we will for a little bit, to be honest. More because I can't deal with it. I just want to live for a bit. But yeah, because we're doing a gym in the garage, which we have sort of started doing, but we've got someone clearing it all out. And that has made me feel really nice, like decluttering it, getting rid of loads of stuff. All this shit that we go around with, I just think, oh,
what are we doing? I walked into the garage the other day. We've got to get ours done. We've got to get it decluttered and de-junked. And I went in there, like forced myself in there because it's literally floor to ceiling, you know, complete width of it. Just covered in old rubbish stuff that I've been taking around with me for the last 40 years. And I found my memory box from school and I opened it up and I had loads of love letters from my boyfriend, Gus, who'd written to me being like passing them back. So back of the class being like, you look so beautiful today. I can't wait to give you a kiss later. And I'm like, why am I still keeping 15-year-old love letters?
Oh, no, you have to keep stuff like that. I don't think that's funny to keep. If you're feeling down and you need a confidence boost, just go and read your love letters that send Carl. Do you think kids still write letters to each other?
I bloody hope so, because some of these are masterpieces.
Do you remember passing notes in class and folding them up? That was so fun. I don't know. I think they text each other now.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
I'm
going to encourage it in my family because I'm going to, passing notes around the class, never let that die.
No, let us
know. No, we're the same as you. We're like trying to get everything sorted at home and the extension is in full swing, as in nearly there. It's very exciting. We've been living on a building site since kind of November time. And it's now, you know, nearly the beginning of May. So we still don't have a kitchen, but I reckon in the next, we're 3 months away from completion.
Wow.
It's not long, is it?
No, that will fly by as well. Like 3 months is what, July? Is that right?
Yeah, July time.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So for the summer, it will be done. That's so nice.
Yeah. Everyone can come round for a party. You know me.
Yeah.
Everyone listening can come round for a party.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
It's a big statement. Next week, I want to talk about that I've been feeling really weird and highs and lows and ups and downs and lots of tears, but I've got an understanding on why. So let's discuss it on next week's podcast.
Yeah, let's do that. In fact, we've got loads of stuff to update each other on, haven't we? So
yeah.
Rather than ramble today, we can, yeah, split it out and do more of an update next week. But it's been really nice to catch up with you because this is actually like our proper catch up. Like, we haven't actually really spoken to each other properly. We sent a few voice notes. That is it. That's so weird for us. So yeah,
basically, in short, we needed a break from one another, but we're back now.
We did. We went on a break.
Don't you cheat on me, George. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. As always, we love doing these for you. And not a normal Tuesday episode, but really lovely to kind of have a catch up. So I hope you enjoyed it. Please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and give our podcast a follow so you'll never miss an episode.
Yeah, and thank you so much for all your guest suggestions. We are reaching out, but if you have got any others, then please do drop us a DM on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity Studios production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.